Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a privilege to be here. Thank you, Wes, for leading us in the Lord's Supper, which is primarily the most important event that we can partake in at this time in our lives. But thinking about the Beatitude message of Jesus Christ, I can't think of any more message expressingly important to put into practice for those who would be in God's kingdom as the message from the Beatitude and on the Sermon of the Mount. And today we'll be in verse 9 of chapter 5 of Matthew, where Jesus expresses, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God," or children of God. You know, when we think about this world around us, those who may not even read these words, it knows little of what peace is. We look around, people hate each other. There's hate crimes. You think about the gang activities that take control over whole neighborhoods and just ruin people's lives. Even the gun violence out there. You know, it's amazing how much of this world is not at peace. That we as Christians in our own little world at times don't really grasp and see out there that goes on every day. Domestic abuse. You know, there's people that are getting whacked around right now as we're here to worship and bow down to God. You know, the political divisions. I mean, people are just divided on who they're going to follow. And I will say even religious divisions. I mean, there's just so much conflict that literally people in the name of God, the God they serve, would be willing to kill the next guy in the name of God. And so for us, we are putting on the media exposed to a constant negativity. And a constant negativity can and will draw the Christian away from the ability to be a peacemaker. Unless we find the true peace experienced in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 5:8, we see the enemy. It's the devil, Satan. He's described as the one who hates us, first of all. And he's described as the roaring lion. I thought about this. The roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what the Bible says. We're in a spiritual battle. There's no doubt about it. Take a look around at the peace that's out there. And we'll know we're in a battle for our lives. Our spiritual lives. And so a peacemaker that Jesus is expecting us who are in His kingdom, following Him, are blessed by being a positive, right? We have the negativities of the world that crush us. They don't have to. We as peacemakers are here to set a positive role model for the people around us, in the church and outside the church. A positive role model where to be. God desires that to be with all of us, all people. And He says, blessed are those people that are peacemakers. The ones who really make effort to be at peace, to resolve issues that destroy people's lives. Those, He says, who would be called the sons of God or the children of God are those who simply follow Jesus. And so they are blessed because they reflect and we all should, reflect God's character in the way we live and the way we present ourselves as people. Jesus brings the everlasting peace. And I want to say this in a way to think about this. He brings that deep inner peace that so many people are looking for. There's a lot of people that don't have the deep inner peace of God. And as a result of that, it's very difficult to be a peacemaker with people that aren't at peace. God says, I bless the peacemakers. They're going to be the sons of God, the children of God. Those are the people that are people of God, peacemakers. It's so easy to throw the word out, peace, right? Back in the 60s, we had the hippies, hippie days. Everything was peaceful. A peace that we believe is that peace in God that transcends even all of our understanding of what it means to be at peace, because God brings peace. God has been a peacemaker. God is the peacemaker. When we consider the peacemaking Jesus brought about for us, why would we even be talking? Why would Jesus tell us to be blessed, blessed to the peacemakers, if he himself wasn't one? When he knew that he was going to lay his life down to bring us peace with God by his blood that he shed on the cross. And because he did this, we can be at peace. Because we're at peace with God now. Peacemakers are those who are at peace with God. So I have 3 points. Our peace with God. That's the first point. To be at peace with God. We all need to be at peace with God. And peacemakers with other people. Right? Because throughout this whole blessed attitude, it always deals with about other people. How we respond to other people. Are we merciful? Do we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God? Are we meek to others around us? It's about other people. And helping others to make peace. As Christians, if we're truly right before the throne of God, and what we believe and teach, we're going to help others make peace with God. That's what a Christian does. In Luke 14, I want to read this. I want to begin with this. Our peace with God. Because it starts with understanding Jesus' teaching. In Luke 14, and beginning in verse 26, Jesus says, and remember, being at peace with God, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he is enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and he wasn't able to finish. Well, what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. And I bring this up at the beginning of this sermon because Jesus has called each and every one of us to be at peace with him. And that takes coming to him and recognizing our need. Just as in this sermon here where Jesus is saying, he begins with the blessedness of being poor in spirit. Poor in spirited people are those who come to Jesus and give up everything they have to follow Him. You love more Jesus more than anything. People, things, Jesus is Lord. And that's the way we're to express ourselves. And when we surrender and submit to God's will, then we can truly see ourselves being poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that is a similar attitude that we're to have in coming to terms with peace with God. Because this one of these kings, he only has 10,000 men. And he recognizes, this other guy's going to just destroy me unless I ask for terms of peace. And so we have to be at peace with God before we can make peace and help others as peacemakers. Peacemakers are those who have peace with God, first and foremost. And so God wants peace with all people who fight against Him, because that's the whole area of life that people are misconceived in, is that it costs something to follow Jesus in our lives. Whether we grew up in the faith or whether we were called far off from others that are in the faith to follow Jesus. In Colossians 1:20 and 23, in regards to us understanding the peace of God, Jesus, it says, making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you've heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, the Apostle Paul, have become a servant. Making peace through His blood. One needs to make peace with God before anything else can occur, spiritually speaking, to help anyone. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since you've been justified by faith, again, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace comes through Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. Again, the world knows little of peace. We don't have peace, the true peace, without Jesus Christ. These described here, those justified by faith in Romans 5:1, are the peacemakers who are the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Because they will be called the children of God, are those who are baptized in Christ. In Galatians 3:26 and 27, it says we're clothed with Jesus. When we are clothed with Jesus, then we can begin to be at peace with God and understand that. His blood that reconciles us, and that's the whole idea of reconciliation, is being at peace with God. God's given us this reconciliation, and it's contacted when, by faith, we are baptized into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I've shared this before, we'll share it all the time. We're baptized into Jesus, we participate in His death, His burial, and we raise to a new life. That's the only way to be at peace with God. We're no longer rebellious when we have peace with God. The war is over. Again, this is a spiritual battle in life. We're in a spiritual warfare. And we submit to God. We submit to our Maker. It's all we can do. It's all we can do when we're at war. All who come into the inheritance of peace with God in Christ, all those who do not, those who aren't, they are, and I say this humbly, are children of wrath. There's no in between. No one's just going to make it. We're either in Christ or we're outside Jesus. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And again, unfortunately, we try to warn people of God's wrath, but that's on each and every one of us to be the peacemakers that will be called the sons of God to help that person get out of God's wrath. I'm not saying everyone's going to turn to Jesus. Many won't. Most people don't. But making peace with others. In James 3, 17 and 18, we read, "But the wisdom from above," again, think about this, "pure," Jesus mentions that in the Beatitudes, "blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In peaceable, right? Peacemakers, peaceable, gentle, meek, not harsh, not rude, and open to reason. Full of mercy, right? Because mercy is going to be shown to us from God if we're merciful to the next person. And good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Or another translation says, peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness. So I want us to think about this, the word pure. Because it's first of all pure. The wisdom of God is pure. The Word of God takes precedence over any man's ideas or opinions of what it means to be at peace with God. We must go by the Word of God. Peacemakers get their information from the Prince of Peace. Right? In Isaiah 9:6, as David read, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that's why he can say strongly, "Blessed is the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers." Because we can carry the same quality and character as Jesus. We follow Jesus' teaching for that reason. We're peaceable. When we're peaceable, we work to heal people's divisions. Even all the way to religiously. There are religious divisions all over the place. That's why we teach the truth, to get into Christ initially. We have to be in Christ initially, baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, to be able to even be helpful to those who preach another gospel. We strive to be active to keep peace in our interaction with other people. That's the idea. We don't go in there and become, you know, again, the next thought is being a troublemaker. Yeah, Jesus didn't say, "Blessed are the troublemakers." Can you imagine if Jesus said, "Blessed are the troublemakers"? That'd be easy to do. It really would. But Paul says, "Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the teaching you've learned." Isn't that interesting? Okay, so we keep to the simple gospel. Hear the word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. And yet, people still try to get in there and cause divisions. "Well, you don't see it that way. This is the way I see it." Let's see it the way God sees it. Let's pray to God. If we're at odds, not to be the guy that causes the division, but the guy that works it out with God first and with one another. There's some humility there. There's some meekness there. Jesus said, those are the blessed people. It's not the guy that causes trouble, the guy that causes divisions and causes obstacles for people not to be saved in the world. We want people saved when we're Christians. Being like Christ is seeking the saved and the lost. Yes, it's holding to Jesus' teaching. He said, "You're really my disciples. You're holding to my teaching." We don't doubt that, but we got to be careful not to be obstacle pushers. And then he talks about the gentleness. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, as stern as he was preaching the gospel from church to church, calling young men like Timothy, an evangelist, to preach the word in season and out, when people want to hear it and when they don't, he says in 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." There's no doubt there's going to be opposition. there's going to be people that teach error. But at the same time, if you have the truth, and you're 100% before God, that you know the truth, we still have to be humble to present that truth that's going to be most effective in helping the next guy's heart. That's a peacemaker. That's a gentle person. Boy, who wants to be rebuked sharply every day for being wrong? That's painful. There's a big S. The peacemakers must not be quarrelsome. Instead, we're instructed to be kind to everyone, patiently guiding and teaching others. Patience, with great patience. Rather than engaging in disputes. That's the whole point. Just not to get into disputes or arguments. And really, in Titus 3:9, it says it only ruins those who listen. If you're 100% right with the gospel you proclaim and the truth that the Bible teaches, we have to be gentle and humble with people that aren't. We're to gather, we talk about the unity of the faith, right, in Ephesians chapter 4. The unity of the faith is a big deal. But it comes through being a peacemaker. We can't beat the next guy up for his struggles of trying to find and know the doctrines of Jesus. And that's why it says that this person is open to reason. We don't compromise the truth. I'm not saying that. But we have to continue to have a teachable heart. Whether it's me learning to have a teachable heart, an elder having a teachable heart. Yes, he's responsible to oversee the church and make sure that no salvage wolves get in there and distort and make disciples following themselves. But the elder still needs to be teachable. I will say this. There's a difference between being a peacemaker and a perfect person. No matter how long we've been in the faith, we have to be humble and have teachable hearts. Don't think we know it all, because just when we think we're standing firm, Jesus said, or Paul, be careful or we too may fall. But we have to be open. And elders must not be quarrelsome, right? They can't quarrel. If an elder has the truth, if you have the truth, we can't quarrel with people. It wrecks people. Full of mercy and good fruits, from Jesus' own requirements, those who would be forgiven must themselves be willing to forgive others, right? He says that in Matthew 6. We're going to be forgiven as we forgive others. Full of mercy and good fruits. And then in Romans 12:18, Paul says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men, or live peaceably with all. Notice the difference. Jesus knew it all. Jesus knew the perfect Word of God, all of what it said. He never compromised. He said, this is what it says, and that's it. There's a lot of preachers that do that, and they don't even speak the truth. That's why we have to make sure that what we present, we're 100% positive on. Because we can only ruin people, and we will not be at peace with people. It is the responsibility of each Christian to respond and to react to others appropriately. You can't just lash out on the guy if he thinks differently than you. But again, this isn't a matter of practice and opinion. I don't agree with being able to say, well, that's just your opinion. We can't do that. We have to see what the Word of God says and do what it says to be a Christian. And to live a godly life and to teach others what it means to be godly. Because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Only the sons of God are peacemakers. And then, this is short, but helping others make peace with God. This is significant if we call and I'm at the forefront of this thought because I'm covered by God and supported to preach the Word. So I don't take this lightly. Because we're at peace with God through Jesus, He's and what He's brought into our lives, we can bring the good news of salvation and proclaim peace to other people. That's a Christian. He has the good news, he lives that out, and he tells other people about it. That's a Christian. That's a disciple of Jesus. That's a Christian. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are our feet. It's to bring good news to people. People need to hear the truth of what it means to have sins forgiven. And I know we have that doctrine down. We got to teach people the truth. Because it does bring peace to people. Remember when you came to peace, you asked for terms of peace to follow Jesus, and you were baptized to have your sins forgiven? What that meant to you before God, to be at peace? I think sometimes we can forget that peace. In Ephesians 6:15, Paul says, he's describing the whole battle, the spiritual battle, and putting on the armor and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth. He says, and the shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. The emphasis I want to share is that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers are blessed because we have the gospel of peace. If you're not at peace, it's very difficult to bring that to another person. But we've got the gospel of peace. And I think one of the things that's encouraging is to not think too much. Mo shares with me, and I love the guy, keep it simple. Sometimes we just got to keep it simple. We got peace with God, and we bring it to other people. That's the goal. You know, there's an invitation, and it is God's heart for everyone, is that we would be at peace with Him, first and foremost. If that's what God's will is, that we'd stop fighting Him, that we'd be at peace. And again, counting the cost, have you ever, and have you asked for terms of peace with God? We can't just keep battling God and think we're okay. Have I made peace by the blood of His cross? When we took the Lord's Supper, did it really have a deep meaning that without this, I have no part of Jesus Christ? The Lord's Supper is significant because if we don't take it, we have no part of Jesus. God has brought peace by reconciling us to His Son. He's brought us peace through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the simple gospel message. And ask yourself, am I a peacemaker? Am I bringing peace to the people around me? In Matthew 28, Jesus, in Matthew 28, I'm using a different translation than what I memorize, so sometimes I look like I have a speech impediment or something, but be patient here. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The invitation is simple. If you have not been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, please come forward today to have your sins forgiven as we sing the invitational song.